Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. I'm Nicholas. Please visit my website, crosstheborder.org. You'll find an email link there to email me. Let me know you're listening, what you think of the broadcast, questions, comments, whatever you have. Today we're continuing in Hebrews. We're at chapter 4, and we got about verse 6. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, speaking of the rest, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. And we're talking about that rest, and the rest is obedience. We cease from our own works, and we do the works of God. He becomes our king when we enter into his kingdom. See, a kingdom has a king, and the king has a kingdom has laws, and he rules in his kingdom, as we read here in Hebrews, by the scepter of his righteousness. So we rest from our own works, and we allow him to rule in our life. We learn obedience. That is the rest. We can rest. We can have assurance that if we follow him, that is, be obedient to him, we have peace. We'll have the best result, and we will enter into his rest, and we will receive all the things that God has promised for us, even eternal life, that rest that he made available to us by the sacrifice of his own son, by the shedding of his blood. So there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God, for he that has entered into his rest has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. So we cease from our own works. We cannot work off our sin debt. We cannot do enough work or good things to justify ourselves to escape the punishment for our own sin. We must cease from our own labor and enter into his rest and learn obedience to him. It's not our works. It's his work. It's his righteousness imputed to us. We learn obedience by entering into his rest. We cease from our own labor. A lot of people want to call that works or legalism or whatever. Because, you know, I read his word and I say, okay, I'm willing. I'll do that. But I'm not working. I'm not laboring to pay the price for my own sins. I'm not laboring to justify myself. My desire is to live my life in a way that's pleasing to him. And by faith, I know that if I desire to please him and I'm willing to allow him to teach me obedience, that I will be saved. I'm willing to endure in his kingdom that I might receive this great salvation and all of the promises. So yes, I'm willing to read his word and go, yes, I can do that. I will learn to do it because it pleases him. Please rule in my life by the scepter of your righteousness. Teach me obedience. Impute your righteousness to me. I have none of my own. See, now you can watch the world out there and all of the ways they justify themselves. They have their own self-righteousness. That is the labor that he's talking about that we're to put off. We cease from our own labors, trying to come up with our own plan for our own salvation, whereby we think God should accept us. It's a self-deception. We justify ourselves by saying, well, I'm better than that guy, or I'm not as bad as that guy, or certainly God is not going to let me go to hell. I'm a good man. All of those things. That's our own labor, our own righteousness that we need to cease from and enter into his rest, the obedience. That is the liberty of the sons of God, is to learn obedience, to say, okay, I surrender. Just let me do what you want me to do. Teach me obedience, because it's something I need to learn. I practiced disobedience all my life. Now I want to learn obedience. He's willing. Are you willing to allow His Holy Spirit to work in your life to convict you of sin? Or will you blaspheme His Holy Spirit to the point where there is no hope for you? That's what most of the world does. They don't allow His Holy Spirit to work, to do His work, which is to convict them of sin, so that they can learn obedience. Now, they usually go for another plan. You know, the you get to go to heaven when you die plan. Or look how good we are by pointing to other people's sins, or fighting for the liberties of, you know, and all those good things. A lot of good things out there that people get caught up into. Good works to justify themselves, leaving off the rest that He has for them. There's so many traps. We need to open our eyes to all of the deceptions, the self-deceptions. And they keep coming, too. It's relentless. But we must take every thought captive. We must examine the intent of our heart for everything we do to make sure that we are not deceived, that we don't let it slip, that we endure to the end, that we might be saved. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. You know, that seems so contradictory, but that's what he keeps saying. You know, let us labor. Well, you know, what is labor? Isn't that work? Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. Seems contradictory, but I understand it. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. Lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. Neither is there any creature, and the word there, created thing, the catisis, created thing. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. You know, what our Heavenly Father is telling us here is that we don't have to be deceived, that the sight that He has, He is willing to give to us if we labor to enter into that rest. And that is to learn obedience. Yeah, we labor to learn obedience. I do. Do you? Are you laboring to learn obedience? Are you willing to put off disobedience? That's the labor. Disobedience is easy. It comes natural. And the whole world is with you in it. You know, you have the fellowship of disobedience wherever you go. The fellowship of, you know, the beer drinkers down at the bar, the cigarette smokers down at the fast, the minute mart, whatever. The fellowship of disobedience, constantly calling you back into those things that the Holy Spirit is trying to convict you of and free you from. That you are to labor to enter into the rest from those things that enslave you, that keep you in bondage. Labor to enter into the rest through obedience. Labor. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. The temptation is always to not believe. Oh, I'm not really a slave to those things. I can master them. Oh, they're not really going to cost me my soul. I won't get lost. And all of that self-deception that springs from unbelief. Why? Because our eyes are darkened. Why don't we believe? Because we love darkness rather than light. Gets right back down to what the Messiah said. They love darkness more than they love the light. I don't want to be one of those. I don't want you to be one of those. Enter into His kingdom. Enter into His rest. Labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. That means it's difficult. Disobedience is easy. It's obedience to Him that is difficult. Therefore, we labor to enter into that rest, that liberty, true liberty, from the things that enslave us. We enter into the liberty of the sons of God. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. We need to keep in his word. Yes, we need to take every thought captive, a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. This is for me to judge my own thoughts, to discern the battle that is going on inside of me, that I might learn obedience and to learn what is keeping me from it. A discerner, to discern the thoughts and intent of the heart. There is nothing that is not manifest in his sight. He's giving that power to us so that we can see from his point of view. But do we want to see? I hope so. I pray that we do. I know I do. I want to see. Otherwise, how will I learn? How will I be free? How will I enter into that rest unless I can see what God wants me to see? So neither is there any created thing, any creature that is not manifested in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Yahshua, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Yes, let us not let it slip. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are. One big difference, though. He without sin. The difference is, yes, we fall. We stumble. And we're learning obedience. And when we fall, we can fall big time. We can fall flat on our face. And there's the temptation. That's when the temptation comes. Are you going to stay down there? The tempter is going to come to you and he's going to lie to you. Oh, look at what you did. God can't accept you. Or you can't do it. It's all a big lie. You're not going to go to hell. You'll go to heaven when you die. It's so many lies that we need to overcome. But no, our Heavenly Father, the temptation is to get back up and reach for the Father's hand and say, yes, I want to learn obedience. I want your righteousness in my life. Let us divide, using the word of God, between the joints and the marrow, the thoughts and the intents of my heart. Let me learn obedience. He was tempted like we were in all those things, yet he without sin. But we sin. Yes, that's the fact. Is that we sin, we fall, we can fall terribly, but we need to get back up and reach for the Father's hand. And I'll tell you what, you do that enough times, just get back up. That's what the scripture says, the righteous man falls seven times, but he gets back up every time. It's the unbeliever, the ones that fall into unbelief who don't get back up, but we get back up. And we reach for the Father's hand. We say, please, Father, teach me obedience. I don't want to fall. And you know what happens? Oh, yeah, we may fall, but we will learn to not fall if we endure in his kingdom. If we labor to enter into his rest. See, because labor in his kingdom is one thing, but labor without his kingdom is another thing. That's called works. That's called self-righteousness. But when we labor in his kingdom, we labor to enter into his rest. The rest that comes through obedience, the liberty of the sons of God going, yes, if I obey him, everything will be good. And I have peace in that. So we labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. We labor to learn obedience. And after a while, yeah, we'll start to stumble. But guess what will happen? We won't fall. We'll learn to reach for his hand right away. Father, don't let me fall. And he's there. His hand is there all the time. We just have to reach for it. And we'll learn if we keep getting back up like the righteous man. Don't fall into unbelief. You get back up every time. The righteous man falls seven times, but he gets back up every time. Then we learn that if we start to fall, we reach for his hand and we don't fall. Wow, that's wonderful. What a beautiful thing to be able to reach for his hand and not fall. Hallelujah. He's there all the time. We learn how to walk in his kingdom and his righteousness starts to work in our lives so that we don't have to fall. It doesn't mean that we'll never fall. We could. I could fall. I'm not so proud to think that I couldn't fall. So I learned to cut it off, the things that could make me fall. I learned to stay away from those things, to cut them off from my life, or to run if they come near me, because I don't want to fall. And that's the heart that our Heavenly Father is looking for, the heart of a people that don't want to fall, that look forward to the day when I will never sin again. I will never even be tempted. And I know that day will not come in this lifetime, when I will never sin again and I will never be tempted to sin again. But I look forward to it. That's my heart. Let that be your heart. I pray, you know, Heavenly Father, let that be my heart. Let it truly be my heart, that I could live my life so that it's totally pleasing to you. Do you have that heart? Would you pray with me that God would give you that heart, a heart that will labor to enter into His rest, to learn obedience from Him, to have a true desire to live a life that is pleasing to Him, to look forward to the day when we're free from this corruption, a day that we'll never sin again, and we will never even be tempted to sin again. That's peace. That's the liberty of the sons of God. That's what we're looking for. No self-righteousness, His righteousness. Him, the King, ruling in our lives by the scepter of His righteousness. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Yahushua, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's what I'm talking about. He's there. He's willing. Like I said, boldly we reach for His hand. Boldly we cry out to Him, say, I want to stand. Don't let me fall. And I mean it. I don't want to fall. I want to stand in His kingdom. And I want to bring as many into His kingdom as I can. He doesn't need me, but it pleases Him to use me. He doesn't need you, but it pleases Him to use you. You know, that's the problem with self-righteousness and all of those hypocrites that are going to stand before Him in that day and say to Him, didn't I do this? Didn't I heal the sick? Didn't I work great miracles and wonders in Your name? And He's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Because you know what? They thought that God needed them, but He doesn't need us. It pleases us to use Him. It pleases Him to use us. Let us never think that God needs us. See, that's pride. That's another temptation. The temptation to pride is, look at the great things I'm doing for God. No, He works through us. It's Him. It's His righteousness. It's His pleasure to work through us. He doesn't need us, but He chooses to work through His people. And then there's the people like I was talking about earlier that are always chasing a miracle. They always want God to work a miracle for them. There's pride in that too. Who are we to command a miracle from God or a healing? He chooses to work through His people, because that's what pleases Him. And who are we to command or demand a miracle? He says, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. I don't want to be one of those. And I understand why He said that. Because the pride that calls for those things says that I'm worthy, that God needs to obey me. That's idolatry. That's what most of the world does, is they become their own God. They justify themselves. They make God in their own image. And we don't want to be those. That's letting it slip. Totally letting it slip. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 1. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? For that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. For by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins. Speaking of the Aaronic priesthood. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he was a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. See, he is our example. And if we don't follow him, say people call yourself a follower of Christ, if we don't follow his example, then we are not followers. He was made perfect. He was matured and became the author of our eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. He learned obedience. That is the rest that we enter, that we learn obedience from him. We rest in our obedience. My job every day, I tell this to people, and I'm telling it to you right now. My job, I have one job every day. I get up, and my job is to be obedient to my Heavenly Father. That's all. I don't have to worry about nothing. I just have to be obedient every day, in every moment, in all things. First place is his kingdom. That means he's my king, and he rules in my life by the scepter of his righteousness. And to me, that means obedience. I can rest in that. I have peace in that. See, when you're not obedient, that's when you don't have peace, because you can't be assured in your salvation. You're not enduring unto the end that you might enter in. Obedience brings you peace. Obedience is the rest. We labor to enter into that rest. I labor every day to enter into that rest, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. And I have to read that again. I have to go back to that. Chapter 5, verse 8. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. How much more us? How much more do we have to learn obedience by the things that we suffer? And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Wow, there it is. Obey. He is the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Oh, Heavenly Father, I want to be one of those that obey you, that I might receive that eternal salvation which you authored. King Yahushua, King Jesus, rule in your life, in my life, I mean, by the scepter of your righteousness, that I might receive that eternal salvation, that I might be one of them that obey you. That's my prayer. Let it be your prayer. Called of God, a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And I'm not going to get into the whole, perhaps that would be a topical study to get into the Melchizedek order of priesthood. But he was after that order, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. And that's all we have time for today. You've been listening to Cross the Border. We'll pick up here next time. Remember, there is nothing more important than that you enter into his kingdom and obtain that eternal life that he has offered us through his blood. So on all things, learn obedience. Hallelujah.